T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Aditi Kinkabwala of the NFL Network is with us on the hotline right now. She's been embedded in Berea the last few days.
She's been busy.
Where the Browns have made 4 trades, acquired 3 players via those trades, and signed 7 draft picks. I don't know if they're all official yet. Aditi, how you doing?
I can't even keep track anymore. You're saying 7, and I'm not even sure if that's really correct. But I'll tell you this. This actually really resembles a football team.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, they're
isn't
it? Real football players here. And I keep getting, and this is what's crazy about this, I keep getting messages from people who have coached these guys or are connected to these guys in some way, be it Carlos Hyde or Darren Fells, and they're excited about these guys. Like, Darren Fells, the tight end from Detroit, one of his former coaches messaged me earlier today about what a good pickup that was, what a solid pickup that was. And here's a guy that's probably flying under the radar.
Right.
And this guy is saying you better not undersell the value of his experience and his leadership to that Browns team.
Yeah.
So clearly John Dorsey is, you know, he's rethinking this organization.
Yeah, I think that these moves, just because not a lot of them are big names, doesn't mean that these guys don't have upside. And that's what good organizations do. They find value. They find some guys who have played, you know, well enough to you know, warrant someone else signing him, but maybe not well enough to earn that huge paycheck or whatever. Because, like, even the T.J. Carey signing from Oakland, I you know, he's a good player, just a good player.
Right.
You know, I don't know if he's going to start for the Browns or what. He's getting a good contract, but I don't know. I'm excited.
Not only here's this other piece of that. Not only a good player, but I was texting with a guy that knows him well, another player in the league who knows him well. And he's like, he's a really good guy. Yeah. T.J. Carey's a good guy, and I chatted with John Dorsey a little bit today. You really get the feeling. So there's two parts to this. One, this guy was here. John Dorsey was here for the last month of the season. The last month of the season, he was around. He was at practice. He was in the locker room before games, and he was sitting in the locker room quietly after games. He knew how guys went about their business. He knew who quit on the team. He knew who was a true professional. He knows exactly what type of player he wants, and he's clearly putting an onus on getting character guys, getting guys that people speak highly of as having good leadership qualities, being professionals. And this is an organization that just didn't really have that, with the exception of a few veterans, because it was so young. I mean, 36 of 53 players were in their first or second year. 36 guys had won 1 or 0 games as a professional NFL player.
Yeah.
How do you win with a roster like that?
You can't.
Well, they should have won more than zero, but you can't win too much.
Yes. Yes, a good point. But still, like, you sit here and you talk about wanting guys to win a game in the NFL. We're talking about guys who had never won a game in the NFL. Like, they don't know what it takes. Forget how good of a player you are. There's something else at play here. So, clearly, I don't know. I saw John Dorsey today. I got to talk to him for a little while. This is a man who's, there was no stress on his face at all. I think he's pretty happy with where things are right now.
I guess
he's feeling good about what's happened.
Yeah,
as he should. The only thing you can't feel good about is that Joe Thomas retired. Obviously, where the Browns have improved at quarterback, they've improved at wide receiver, they've improved in the secondary, and maybe even at running back. But one area they've taken a huge downgrade, or they will, depending on who they get, is left tackle. Aditi, and the retirement of Joe Thomas, this is the one thing he's got to be a little, you know, I guess you don't want to say disappointed, because you understand why Joe did it, but it certainly hurts the team.
Well, you know what, and I'll just say this, and I said this earlier to somebody here in the building. I'm personally sad, because I really, really genuinely do feel that the organization is about to make a bit of a turn. It does feel like this is a team that can win some games, or at least that this is a team that's being put together how you expect a football team to be put together, and it's a shame that he won't get to be a part of that. But look, if anybody's seen Joe in the last few months, what has he lost?
Skinny.
Like 50 pounds?
Yeah. At least.
Yeah, right? Like, you kind of knew. As much as we sat here and we dragged out the suspense of it, and I felt extremely strongly that this was Joe Thomas's right to make this announcement. After a Hall of Fame career, after everything that he's put up with here, or everything that he's endured, let's put it that way, after everything that he has endured with this organization and in this city. It was his right to say what he was going to do. It was his right to announce his decision. But if you saw him at any point in the last few months, this is not a guy that looked like he was about to play left tackle in the National Football League.
We're talking with Aditi Kinkabwala from the NFL Network. Aditi, you said you spoke with John Dorsey today. Did you get the impression that even with all these moves he's made, that they're still looking to do some things in free agency or trades?
Okay, this is an 0-16 team. There is a long way to go. There is a long way to go to improvement. So, yes, this is not a team that is done.
More moves coming. More moves coming. Yeah, they got them.
Go ahead.
There has to be. I mean, look at all the holes. Look, they still need a wide receiver. Let's talk about that, okay?
Well, you still got the draft. You got a lot of draft picks.
There are, but also there are still 9 draft picks, and you know that's certainly extremely interesting. I could talk to you guys forever, and I know I talked to Adam for like an hour about this today, Dustin, about 1 and 4 and what we see happening, and this will be continue to be a conversation for the next 6 weeks, I'm sure. But you still there are certain positions where you need a veteran guy. You just need an older guy. You need the guy to set the tone, who knows how to go about his business. And I think that a veteran wide receiver would be a really nice compliment here. It would be a really nice add. So that's something that I'm still kind of looking for.
Are you not trusting Josh Gordon? Because I've been saying everybody's counting Josh Gordon with Jarvis Landry. I feel like, hey, it's 6 months before they play again. I hope Josh Gordon can stay out of trouble, but I don't know how you rely on it. Are you? I'm assuming you're not, since you think they need another veteran, which wouldn't be a bad idea either way.
I mean, in general, look, somebody could tear their ACL in the OTAs. You know, like anything could happen. So in general, you have to sort of be prepared for anything. I don't want to sit here and put that on Josh Gordon. That's not really fair. You know, he's obviously worked really hard to get back. I have nothing to indicate that he cannot get through the year. At some point, you just have to have trust and faith. But even if you do have Josh Gordon on one side and you have Jarvis Landry working underneath, you still want another option. I mean, Todd Haley's the guy that regularly used 5 receivers, you know, and regularly rotated guys in and liked to move guys around and be unpredictable in that way. Every receiver that Todd Haley had could line up all over the field and play in multiple different positions. This is, I mean, they want more dynamic playmaking on offense, and you need another wide receiver to do that. I guess the better question is, are either of you sold on Corey Coleman?
No, not at all.
We think they're going to move him.
I think that, yeah, we wouldn't be surprised. And you're right. Even if Josh Gordon is here with Jarvis Landry, there's nobody else that's done anything. So you'd only have 2 guys, even if Gordon is here. So yeah, I'm not definitely not against bringing in another veteran wide receiver. I guess they could bring back Terrell Pryor. We've heard that rumor. Are you buying into that at all?
I'm not sure that he's the right fit here. Mm-hmm. I know that drumbeat has been pounded, or that drum has been pounded. This is why I don't speak in cliches, because I constantly screw them up. I don't know what the right cliche is. But I once said
fire and brimstick, Aditi. Okay.
It's true. Fire and brimstick. That was a classic.
Yeah, that was a classic.
Well, you should have taken a patent out on that one, right?
I know.
I think that from what I have been told, I am not as sold on that reunion happening. Okay. I won't rule anything out. This is not the time of year. This is not the season to rule anything out. I have not been definitively told that there is no way that that happens, but I have also not been given a reason to believe that that's on the horizon.
All right.
We are chatting with Aditi Kinkabwala from the NFL Network, who is in Cleveland covering the Browns the last few days, doing a great job. You know, Aditi, you spend you spend a lot of time in Pittsburgh too, because you live there, and so you get to cover the Steelers a little bit. So, you know, the guy we signed last night, the offensive tackle, which frankly I had to like Google him. You know, like,
okay, Justin, you are going to love this guy. Yeah. This is what I'm talking about. This is exactly what y'all were saying earlier about guys that maybe don't have the biggest names, but these are players that have so much upside. Mm-hmm. So Chris Hubbard, he was the Steelers' 6th offensive lineman. The Steelers have an outstanding offensive line. They have the #1 offensive line coach in the NFL in Mike Munchak. Okay? He trains these guys better than anybody. Chris Hubbard was their versatile #6 lineman who could play anywhere along the line. He started 10 games this year. Marcus Gilbert went down. First he was hurt, and then he was suspended for 4 games. Chris Hubbard filled in, and the Steelers did not miss a beat with Hubbard in at right tackle. He can also play guard. In a pinch, he can play center. This is what I'm really interested about. This is, I've been messaging, trying to find out. I am very curious to know what the Browns said to Hubbard.
Yeah.
Do they want him to play right tackle? Do they want him to play left tackle? I don't know, but he's being paid starter money. And also, guys, you're going to love him. He is really, really smart. He's a wonderfully nice guy. He goes about his business exactly how you want someone to go about their business. He is a professional. You will be very, very happy to be around a guy like Chris Hubbard.
What's your
write it down now.
What's your gut tell you on where they're going to play him?
You know what, guys? I didn't see enough of Sean Coleman.
Yeah.
I didn't.
He was not good.
He's
not great. He's not good.
Okay, but is he not good, period, or is he not good on the right side?
I don't know. I mean, he was not great. We know that much. It was his second year. Didn't really play much as a rookie. Third-round pick out of Auburn.
Then I think that Chris has to get a shot on the left side, right? I mean, who's playing left tackle right now?
I don't know. I mean, I think
Spencer Drango?
Probably. I think in a perfect world, they drafted a left tackle in the second round and have Hubbard play right tackle, and you know, you'll see if you get the right guy. But that's a risk, too. They got nothing proven at the position, but... You think he could play left tackle? You wouldn't be concerned about that.
I mean, the Steelers have been playing Al Villanueva at left tackle for the last few years. This is a guy that in college was a wide receiver. Yeah. When he entered the league as an undrafted free agent, was a tight end.
Yeah.
Didn't even play offensive line until he came to the Steelers a few years ago. I mean, he spent more time being an Army Ranger in Afghanistan than he has spent playing offensive line. And he is one of the best team in the AFC's starting left tackle.
Good point.
You know, like,
yeah,
that's there's a good some point. Applicability to that.
All right, listen.
I mean, is he Nate Solder? I'm not saying that. Is he Joe Thomas? No, nobody's going to be Joe Thomas. But, you know, Tyrod Taylor is a mobile guy. Tyrod Taylor is a dynamic, athletic guy. You have a little bit of flexibility, I think.
All right, I'm going to throw out a couple of veteran wide receivers, and we're all going to vote. You, me, and Dustin, we're all going to vote. Which of these guys? Yeah, we'll go like veteran guy that's kind of towards the end, but maybe can help. As like the fourth wide receiver or something. Mike Wallace, Jordy Nelson, Jeremy Maclin, Eric Decker. Let's go with those four guys.
Would Maclin make some sense? Because Dorsey.
Oh my God, I would love Maclin. I would love Jeremy. He's another one of those.
He's a great guy.
He's the youngest of those four guys too. He's only 29.
Okay, Mike Wallace isn't coming here. Todd Haley has already put in time.
Yeah,
with
I don't
Mike
like.
Wallace.
He wouldn't be my choice.
Who's that? Who'd you say?
Mike Wallace. Oh, he's not coming here.
Okay, he's not coming here.
Yeah. Maclin wouldn't be a bad choice.
Maclin is a guy that, again, a professional, a guy who can do a lot of things. Todd Haley likes the likes having guys that he can move around, that can do different things for him, can surprise you, essentially. You know, like, he wants his wide receivers to line up everywhere on the field. And Mike Wallace, for all his speed, is not going to be able to do that for you. Jeremy Maclin can do that for you.
Yeah.
And you're right, the John Dorsey connection right there. That's something to think about.
Yep. Yeah. Maclin, he hasn't, you know, put up much, you know, big numbers the last 2 years. He's missed some games, but, you know.
Well, they need pros. Professional wide receivers.
Year, you know, the Baltimore Ravens offense just
was terrible.
Didn't hit its stride a year ago.
Yeah.
So let's see. As a wide receiver, you need somebody to deliver you the ball.
Yeah, I mean, he played 12 games, had 40 catches for 440 yards, 3 touchdowns. It's not terrible.
Had a hell of a game against your Bengals.
Yeah, he did.
That touchdown.
It's good. Like, you're looking fourth receiver, I think. You know, maybe third at most, but probably like a fourth receiver.
More you can count on him more than you can Corey Coleman.
Oh, certainly.
So,
yes, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
All right, Aditi, when are you leaving? Tomorrow? You still in town for another day?
I'm still in town tomorrow. Well, now that we've been talking about all these guys, we have to meet them, right?
Hopefully, they're
showing up tomorrow.
Yeah,
hopefully, they start coming in. I mean, I really hope Tyrod Taylor's coming in tomorrow.
Yeah, we do too.
Think he's going to be good, Tyrod?
You know what? I really do. I think that. So I know that Todd Haley really likes him, and I know that this organization liked him. I know that a year ago there were quite a few internal discussions. Hugh Jackson was very high on Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor brings some athleticism to him. I mean, it brings some athleticism to that position.
Sure. Yeah.
He's a very dynamic guy. You can't undersell that. Also, look, Tyrod Taylor doesn't make mistakes. You know, for all the I know that
most
that divisional
important.
Round game was horrible. Right.
Yeah.
But he's not. He's responsible with the football. And I think right now, the number one trait, the number one asset that you need at that quarterback position is that. And then also, he ended a playoff drought that was, 16 years?
Yep. Longest in the league.
I mean, since I've been alive, right?
Yep.
The Buffalo Bills have gone to the playoffs behind two quarterbacks, Jim Kelly and Tyrod Taylor.
That's it.
It's amazing.
You're right. You know,
Trent Edwards wasn't taking us.
No, definitely not.
And let me give you guys one more thing. There's one other piece about Tyrod Taylor that I really like. He has been doubted over and over and over again. Look, he was playing well this past season. They pulled him out. They bring in a rookie who throws five picks, and the kid just goes back in and does his job.
Yep.
You don't see him throwing a temper tantrum. You don't see him saying, I'm insulted, screw you, get yep. out of here. I mean, he is just, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to just go about and do what I need to do. And that speaks to, again, that goes back to what I was saying about the type of young men, the type of character that John Dorsey is trying to get into this locker room.
It's a great point.
Well, I mean,
yeah, we have people tweeting us about Ndamukong Suh. We're like, that doesn't fit with what they're doing, I think.
No, it definitely does not fit. And apparently, I need to go live on the NFL Network.
Go do your thing.
Okay, Aditi, thanks. Talk to you soon.
Goodbye to me, but
Well, we were going to wrap up. But
thanks, Aditi.
We'll see you there.
Well, thanks a ton. I'll talk
to you
soon.
All right,
Aditi
Kinkabwala.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.